We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6 today, so I invite you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. Look in your app, or it's in the worship guide there for you. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start reading in verse 19, and I'm going to read through verse 24. I invite you to listen carefully and closely, for this is God's word to us. Matthew writes, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" Verse 24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is a difficult text we have before us this morning. And it's not difficult because it's hard to understand. It's not difficult because there's a lot of things going on here that you and I come and we say, what exactly is Jesus saying here? What is the point that he's trying to get across? But it's a difficult text for us because Jesus is laying in on the issue of money. And even now, you're probably saying, oh no, here comes the money talk again from the preacher. Right? We're going to talk about money. But I hope you'll see as we look at this passage that money in and of itself is not the theme, but what money reveals about our heart, what money reveals about where it is that we place our hope ultimately, and whether or not we are those who call God our Lord. Ultimately, if that's true, then all the things have to fall in place as it relates to our money. So it's difficult because it's one of those controversial topics. Those of the guests of family are like, great, glad we came on this Sunday for this event, right? But it's also difficult because if we're not careful, you and I will talk about money and stewardship as if God is poor. God is not poor, friends. God is not wringing his hands in heaven today, hopeful that you and I will come through for him and his kingdom on this earth. Such a thought, I think, is blasphemous. That our Lord is the sovereign creator of all things, and everything on this planet belongs to him. And he comes to us this morning through his powerful word, asking us to reflect on the condition of our hearts and the relationship that we have to the money and the stuff that he's entrusted to us. Another reason that it's hard is because it's a very private issue for some reason in our culture, isn't it? I mean, could it be more rude for me to walk up to Cody and say, what are you making this year, Cody? You're like, none of your business, bro. Right? Bob, what are you giving to the church this year? Not really in a position to say that this morning, right? It's one of those things that for some reason you and I have allowed this to become a really, really private matter. And what happens when things are kind of to the side in private is that there's no real sense of accountability, is there, in public? Like, I can tell if you're doing things like lying, if I pay attention long enough, maybe. Or if you break some big crime, or if you're unfaithful to your spouse, or if all of those things ultimately, but this idea of money and materialism and consumerism that often are at work in our hearts, it's oftentimes this really, really private thing that we keep to ourselves. And so there's no sense of accountability in how it is that we steward our finances. So I invite you to come to this passage in the Sermon on the Mount this morning, prayerful and open that God would reveal to you where it is that you are in your relationship with him and the stuff he's entrusted to you, and that God would make us a more faithful people together. When you hear the number 3.4 million, does that sound like a big number to you? Yep. She's like, matter of fact, it does. Might as well be 3.4 billion for some of us. You're like, 3.4 million? How could we ever give that much money? If we're just real honest with each other, friends, 3.4 million should not be a problem for Mountain Brook Baptist Church. That if God opens up in our hearts a level of generosity that's proportional to what he's given to us in Christ, we'll have so much money sitting around and we're like, what can we do for the gospel with this money? But if we're not faithful, if we don't respond in a way that's honoring to him, we'll be sitting around wringing our hands asking, where's all the money going to come from? Okay? Now, this passage comes to us in what I would argue is probably the best sermon ever preached. Jesus preached a Sermon on the Mount. He's got his disciples gathered around him, and he's helping them understand what it looks like to live according to the norms and values of the kingdom of God. And he addresses all types of heart-level issues, and he's really pushing in beyond just the law that they've been used to understanding kind of tick for tack, this is what we have to do, to the heart issue that's underlying all these different things. So we might say, well, I don't lie, or I don't commit adultery. Let's take that one. And Jesus said, no, 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 no. Just because you didn't do the act doesn't mean you're in a good place. What's the condition of your heart? And then he starts talking about money. Listen to what he says in verses 19 and 20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now, Jesus begins addressing money for me in a very practical way. He's trying to help us think about how it is that we can invest what he's entrusted to us in things that are not very volatile. And he starts by saying, all the stuff that you could have on earth, it's not a good investment because it's here today and gone tomorrow. Moth and rust can destroy our stuff, or someone can break in and they can take it from us. So don't invest your life there. Instead, invest your life where? Where do you lay up your treasures? In heaven, where moth and rust can't destroy and where thieves can't break in and steal. Now, all of us probably here can give mental assent to that truth. That one day, your stuff will not be here anymore. So you walk into your home today and you look around and you can probably say, yes, I get it. All this stuff will not be here one day. The more that I've spent time with some in our older segment of our congregation, and then they pass away, and then families have to figure out to do with all their stuff. And stuff that you think is really, really important and awesome, one day your children are going to walk in and be like, what do we do with this stuff? Do you want it? I don't want it. Can we get anything for it on eBay? Would she care? Right? What are we, and some things that they'll just keep because they feel too bad to get rid of it. Right? And all of the stuff that we've spent all of our lives accumulating is nothing but moth and rust. But it has this kind of power in our lives that it promises that fulfillment and joy can be found if we can just get more stuff. And Jesus says, it's all moth and rust. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on earth. And when I read those verses, it makes me really contemplate my belief in the new heavens and the new earth. We could have added that to the song we sang. I believe in the new heavens and the new earth. I believe that one day I will have an inheritance that is undefiled, imperishable, and it's kept in heaven for me even now. But then you might look at my life and say, really? It really looks like, Wayne, that you're really living for all the stuff that's here. And it begs the question for us as believers, would non-believers come into our lives and say, I really think they're living for something beyond this world? That it doesn't seem like that their lives and their hearts are wrapped up in their stuff. Or would they come along, as one pastor said it, and think that you and I are basically about everything that everybody else in life is about, except we go to church on Sundays and we thank God for all the stuff that we have. And so he says, first, in a real practical way, hey, don't waste your life, friends, accumulating a bunch of stuff that's moth and rust and that one day someone's going to take from you or your kids are going to try to figure out what to do with it. It gives you another reason why it's important. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So wherever it is that you find your stuff residing, and that's where your treasure is, then Jesus says that's also the place where your heart is going to be. And your heart, if your treasure is here on earth, is going to beat for the things of this earth. And you're going to wear yourself out, and you're going to work extra hours, and you're going to do all this stuff in order to get things that you think will satisfy the desires of your heart. See, ultimately, material things are a heart issue for you and for me. And how many times have you chased after that thing that you thought would satisfy the desires of your heart and then only found it to be wanting? Your kids, it's easier to see. Maybe if I can get that new pair of shoes, or if I can get that new gadget that's out, iPhone 35 or whatever it is. I think the iPhone 35 will just be like lots of cameras all over the back of it. Just you just carry it around. Yeah. But there's this idea that if I can just get that next thing, then I'll be happy. My heart will be satisfied. And just do it this Christmas. Like, think about all the things that you're going to parade into your house. And then, so last Christmas, how much of your stuff do you still know where it is? Especially if you're young. You're like, where is that thing? Right? The batteries ran out. It broke. We don't know. Because it doesn't satisfy the desires of our heart. And so Jesus is saying, if you allow your heart to be wrapped up in the stuff of this world rather than the stuff of the kingdom of God, it's in your best interest, because if you don't get that right, you're going to waste your life. Right? Verse 22. Now, here's what might could be a confusing part of the passage. Some of you are saying, this is so clear. Yeah, about 22 and 23. Listen to what he says. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? What I think Jesus is saying here is that if you and I ultimately think that value is found in the stuff and the things of this world, then we're going to chart our course through life according to that understanding. So we're going to look out in life and we're going to say, what's the path of life? Well, the path of life is that I take these steps, so I get a really good education, I get a really good job so I can get really nice stuff, and I'm going to protect that stuff, and I'm going to go through all these things about my stuff. And so what I think Jesus is saying is that if that's your vision for life, if that's where you think happiness and joy will be found, then that's the light that's going to light the path of life for you. And imagine if you think you're walking into light, but you're really walking into darkness. It's kind of like if you went on eBay. People still do eBay. Am I dating myself? Is that a thing? Any of you bought eBay in the last year? Not me. You will not hear that Wayne died meeting somebody buying something off of Craigslist. I don't trust anybody. Not even most of you, right? No, so I'm not meeting you at like Lowe's to pick up something. But imagine that you got on there and this thing is supposed to be like the most expensive baseball card ever. Well, what's the most expensive baseball card? Any idea? Maybe a Honus Wagner or something. And you go and you get it, and you take it home, and then one day the Antique Roadshow comes to town, and you show up, and you're so excited about your Honus Wagner baseball card, and you take it in, and you're like, what's it worth? And they're like, actually, it's a fake. Actually, it's not worth anything. And you're just like, oh. I sold my 1993 F-150 pickup truck to buy this. What do you mean it's not worth anything, right? I think Jesus is warning us, friends, that if we live according to the norms and values of the world, and we seek value, and we seek to have our hearts fulfilled in all the things of the world, one day we get to the end of our lives, and we realize, and we look back, that we were charting our course, seeking things that are of no value at all. It's heavy stuff this morning, isn't it? That you only get one life to live. You only have one shot to invest this precious time that God's entrusted to you. And the idea that Jesus says, I want you to invest that really precious life I've given to you in things of the kingdom. I want you to store your treasure up, not here, but I want you to store it up there. And you got to believe that that place exists and that my kingdom one day will come and that you will inherit something. And in comparison to whatever it is you gave up, it's not even in the same, the zeros don't even kind of equate. 3.4 billion sounds big. Like, add however many more zeros you can get in comparison to whatever it is that you gave up in this life. Verse 24. And we get even more and more into the heart of the issue. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, I really wish Jesus would have said, it's hard to serve God and money, wouldn't you? It's difficult to serve God and money. But here's a four-step plan of how you can do it. Right? But Jesus says so clearly, you cannot serve God and money. Either you're going to love one and hate him or be devoted to one and despise the other. And remember that Jesus is giving this sermon to followers who would go out and be asked to give their very lives because of their witness to him. So for you and I, it seems kind of easy most days to follow Christ. He's sending these disciples out, and their very lives are going to be on the line. And he follows this up with passages about not being anxious, about looking at how the birds eat, looking at how the plants grow, because he is going to ask them to walk away from all of that stuff to follow him. And there's going to be moments in their hearts where they're going to say, I don't know. Money and stuff provides me with security. And Jesus is going to come in and say, I want you to leave all of that behind, and I want you to follow me. And when you have to make that decision, the question then becomes, who do I really believe can satisfy and meet the needs of my heart and provide for me? Is it God? Or is it me and the stuff that I can get? You see, ultimately, our understanding of God's lordship in our life, it's really, really easy for us to stand up and say, Jesus is Lord. He's the sovereign. He rules my life. Until he says, okay, I want you to walk away from everything in which you found your security and your hope and your peace. I want you to leave all of that behind and trust that I'm going to provide for you. It's a different thing, isn't it? And maybe in your life, there's been those times where you felt like God calling you to a path of faithfulness, of putting something on your heart that he's asking you to do, and you've said, I could do that, but it's going to require me to walk away from all this stuff that I know is safe and that can meet the needs of my heart. And so Jesus is saying, when that moment comes for you, you cannot serve God and money at the same time. You got to decide. Which one will you trust will meet the needs of your heart? Which one do you trust is the better investment of the precious life that he's given to you? All the stuff that you can acquire, all the experiences you can have in this life, or is there something deeper that powers us, that draws us into this life of faithfulness to where we do things that others would think would be crazy? Have we moved all in financially so that if we were wrong, we would, like Paul, be of all people most to be pitied? Or are we kind of hedging our bets? If that whole inheritance thing isn't true, we've still had a pretty decent life. In my own heart, in my own life, it makes me sit back and think about the ways in which God might be calling me to steward what he's entrusted to me differently for the kingdom. And I think that if in Mount River Baptist Church, if God captures our hearts and we start to say, okay, we're going to believe in faith that this is who God is and what he's calling us to do, we're going to trust that the life that he's going to give us and the life to come is going to be infinitely better than the life that we've had here, and that everything that we've leveraged for the kingdom, one day we're going to look back and we're just going to celebrate at all that God has been gracious enough to do in and through us. So during the month of October, I just ask you to enter into this season of prayer and asking the Lord to show you the condition of your heart. It might be that you look and you think, okay, by God's grace, I feel like we're being pretty faithful with what he's entrusted to us. We're going to continue down this path. It might be that God reveals to you, says, you know what? You do have some idols in your heart as it relates to your stuff. I'm calling you away from that into this path. But I'd invite you to enter into it seriously. Your stewardship committee are some of the most faithful, pure-hearted people that I've spent time with in a long time, and their heart and their desire is to see us not just get a number on a page, but to see us grow in spiritual health and maturity. One last word about pledging. I'll admit to you that I used to not like pledge cards. Is anybody in here on the personnel committee? Right? I didn't grow up with pledge cards. I'm from a small rural church. We walked in and we said, all right, good, we'll do that. And then we gave towards it, and somehow God in his grace made it work. And so we didn't write anything down. And I didn't write anything down until I came on staff at a church where they said, we'd love for you to work here. And oh, by the way, you're going to write this down. But over time, it's become a very good spiritual discipline for me. Remember how we talked earlier about how nobody really knows what you do with your money or how much you make? There's something really healthy about you writing that down somewhere and saying, we as a family are going to commit by God's grace to give this way in 2020. Because if you're like me, things are going to happen this coming year. Something's going to happen to your car. I've become convinced that cars are from the evil one. Something will happen to your car. Your roof will leak. Your hot water heater will go out. All these things will happen. And there might be moments where you have this idea, all right, I said I would give this to the church, but I have all these commitments. Nobody will really know if I kind of just pull back on that a little bit. And God has a way of us, we make commitments, and by his grace, we move forward in faithfulness to help us refine. And it might be that in the coming year, we say no to some things we would have loved to have done because we feel like God gave us his heart to commit to this thing that he's doing at Mountain Root Baptist Church. I invite you to pray about that process and actively engage in it this month of October and see what it is that God lays on your heart from a financial stewardship position. And ultimately, we do all this from a standpoint of grace. It's a response to what God has done for us in Christ, that not one of us in this room will ever give an amount to any organization that will somehow surprise and astound God. because he's already given us more than we could ever give or repay to him by giving us the gift of salvation and new life through faith in his son. So we come and we do all this in response to grace.